RHO will say good morning. Another beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamites. We're actually Meretz Hashem v'Shatov Mislachos, going to finish in the fourth parak of Sanhedrin. But we are picking up on Lamites Amud Beis 38b. And specifically, we are picking up at Amar Hahu Mina L'Rav Idis. Actually, Amar Rav Nachman. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Lamed Chesamad Beis, 38b. Last two words on the lines. Remember, again, this we're continuing on the theme that was introduced on Amud Aleph on yesterday's daf. Avda Mala Hashiv La Apikoris. That know what to respond to an apikoris. That if somebody who's a heretic comes and confronts you with some type of warped understanding or interpretation of the Torah, so a Jew has to know how to answer that. You have to know how to answer it in order to go ahead and be solid in your beliefs. You have to know how to defend your beliefs. So these are just continued stories on that same motif. Amar Rav Nachman, Haiman diyoda lahadure leminim kirat idis. Anyone who knows how to answer heretics like Rav Idis, lahadar, then you should answer. Ve'ilo, lo lahadar. But if you're not as proficient as Rav Idis, then you shouldn't get involved. So we'll say it's another interesting idea, which is, you know, don't get involved in answering up the heretics unless you mamish know your stuff. Because there's one thing, I'll say, if you ever had interactions with door-to-door missionaries. So the one thing you have to give them incredible credit for, two things, is number one, they're passionate, and number two, they know their stuff. Now, it's wrong, it's meaning we believe it's wrong, but you have to be able to enter into a meaningful dialogue with them. Meaning, if you're going to engage, then know how to engage. If you don't know like Rav Idis, then don't get involved. V'ilolo l'hadar. Amar Rav Mino Rav Idis. The Gemara gives an example. There was a particular heretic who once said to Rav Idis, Ksiv ve'al Moshe Amar Ale El Hashem. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Pasuk says, and to Moshe God said, rise to God, or ascend to God. Now, what the Min was trying to do was to show that what? You see, there are two deities. There's the one who's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the one who's speaking to Moshe says, Moshe, you should go up to God, you should go up to Hashem, as if the speaker is one deity, and Hashem is one deity. So the Gemara says, Ale Elani Barile, should have just said, ascend to me. Amar Lei, to which Rav Idis said, Zem Metatron Sheshmo Kishem Rabo. This refers to Metatron, the Malach Metatron, whose name, Metatron's name, is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. In other words, sometimes the Malach Metatron is literally Kiviyachol called HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Hashem as well. Dechsev Kishni Bikirbo. Because in referring to Metatron, the Pasuk says, because my name, God is saying, Hashem is saying, my name is in Metatron. Ihachi Miflechule. If that's the case, why don't we worship Metatron as well? Why don't we just worship Metatron as well? Ksiv al tamerbo, al tamirenebo, because the pasuk says we may not exchange Hakadosh Baruch Hu for any other deity, even for Metatron. Im kein lo yisal pishechem lamali. So if that's the case, why does the pasuk need to say that Metatron will not go ahead and forgive your sins? Obviously, if you can't pray to Metatron and you can't supplicate to Metatron, so Metatron is not going to forgive my sins. To which the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rav Idi responded, Heminusa biadan daafilu beparvanko nami lo kabline. That Rav will say, as great as Metatron is, Klal Yisrael wouldn't even accept Metatron as a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dichsiv, Vayomre Elav, Im Ein Panech Aholchin. Remember again, this is after the Chet Egel, where the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm not going to lead you myself. Instead, I'm going to send you one of my messengers, one of my malach. My malach is going to, and the malach he was referring to was Metatron, Metatron has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within him. And yet Klal Yisrael says, no thank you. If we can't have you, then we don't want anyone, even Metatron. So the Gemara says the following, Amar Le'ahu Mina Rabbi Shema Rabbi Yossi, Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Vashem Himtir Alstom Va'al Amora Gafris Va'ish Me'is Hashem. The Pasuk says, and Hashem caused it to rain down on Stom and Amora. So Gafris Va'ish, literally fire and sulfur. Fire and sulfur. So why does it say Me'is Hashem? It should say Me'ito, from him, God has already mentioned in the pasuk. You don't have to say Hashem again. Amrali, listen to this. Amrali Ahukube. So you must remember, this is a min, a heretic was engaging Rabbi Yishmael. So Amrali Ahukube. So there was a particular launderer. Like mamish, this is not like a metaphor for like a money launderer. This means he was a little launderer. He was a kubes. So there was this guy, this simple Jew who overheard this exchange. He says, Rabbi Yishmael, Shafke, I'm the Mahadranalei. I got this. Let me handle this guy. Dichsiv, Vayomer, the Amr Sidimar says, Dichsiv, Vayomer Lemech Lenashav, Adav Etzila, Shma'an Koli Neshe Lemech. The Pasuk says, we'll say when Lemech was talking to his wives, so it says, Vayomer Lemech Lenashav, Lemech said to his wives, Adav Etzila, Shma'an Koli Neshe Lemech. Listen to my voice, the wives of Lemech. Yeshai, why does it say wives of Lemech? It should have just said what? Listen to me, my wives. So the Gemara says, Ella, Mishtoikrahachi, Hakanami Mishtoikrahachi, to which the Kovei said, listen, sometimes that's just how the Pasuk speaks. Sometimes, again, the speaker or the main character of the Pasuk will sometimes refer to himself as third person. It's true by human being, and it's true by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Amar Lei Menalecha, so Rabbi Yishmael is very impressed. He says to the launderer, Nu, where do you know this from? To which the man responded, Mipirkei Drebi Meir Shmieli. I heard it in Shir. Shabbos said the importance of paying attention in Shir. Right? I heard it in Shir, and I was able to go ahead and take it with me and use it somewhere else. Listen to this. Din Rabbi Yochanan Kevadar Shabbi Meir Bepirkei. This is actually quite beautiful. When Rabbi Meir would give Shir, this is amazing. It's also amazing from just a teaching perspective. He would split Shir into three parts. He said he would do the following. Darish Tilsa Shmaita. He would do one-third Halacha. Tilsa Agarata. One-third Agarata. Tilsa Masli. One-third mashalim, parables, which Shabbos say is an incredible yisod, because it's either to be made or understood, that in order to keep the attention of individuals, again, things haven't changed all that much. It's hard sometimes to remain engaged when it's just straight halacha or it's just, you know, straight details. So Rabbi Meir, and who is Rabbi Meir speaking to? Rabbi Meir is speaking to everybody, right? One-third halacha, one-third mashalim, one-third agarta. Incredible. Rabbi Yochanan, gimel meos mashalos shualim hayil Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Meir had 300 fox parables. I will say, you know, there's a lot of parables, a lot of mashalim in Yiddishkeit that have to deal with the fox. Right? The fox representing many different things. Sometimes representing the sly Yitzhara, sometimes representing the umos olam, the nations of the world, but always representing those who are trying to undermine and undercut. Rabbi Meir had 300 fox mashalim. Va'anu ein lana ela shalosh. We only have three. We have three remaining ones from Rabbi Meir. Top of Lama Tesser Bosai. Those three mashalim, which we're going to see, the three mashalim are really one mashal. They're three parts of one mashal, are based on the following three psukim. Number one, top of Lama Tess, Avos Yochlu Bosar, Vishine Banim Tekahena. The fathers will eat sour grapes, and literally the teeth of the sons will be affected. Ma'azne Tzedek Va'avne Tzedek. You should have just weights and measures. And Mitzara Nechlatz Vayavo Rasha, Tzadik Mitzara Nechlatz Vayavo Rasha Tachtav. The Tzadik will be saved ultimately again from Tsar, and the Rasha will take his place. So we'll say, so what's the Mashal? Take a look at Rashi. This is why I wanted to start a few minutes early, because there's so much to do today. Take a look at this Rashi. Listen to this. Tap Rashi, Avos Yochlu Bosar. Mashal Hu, this is the Mashal, I will say. Sherima Hashua Las Azev, Likonis Lachatra Yehudim Berev Shabbos. There was once a story of a fox who convinced a wolf to enter into the Jewish courtyard on Erev Shabbos. Uletaken imohem tzarchei suda, v'yochal imohem b'Shabbos. So what did the fox tell the wolf? Listen, it's a mefurish gemara. Kol mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. So wolf, here's what you need to do. Go into the Jewish courtyard, offer your assistance to help them prepare for Shabbos, and they will give you Shabbos food. They will lie to you with them on Shabbos. So what happens? Ukeshevalikonis. When the wolf came into the courtyard, Chibra Laba Maklos. So what happens? They attacked the wolf. The wolf walked in, and the residents of the courtyard attacked the wolf. The wolf, badly beaten and bruised, comes back. Balaro Gesashual. He comes back to kill the fox. Amr lo hilkucha ela bishvil avicha. Shepam achas hischil asayin besuda. Va'achal eskol nachas tov. So the fox says to the wolf, you were only beaten up because of your father. Because one time your father offered to help the Jews set up for Shabbos, and instead of helping them set up, he ended up eating all of the food. Because of my father's actions, I should be beaten. To which the fox said, yes. Ha'avos yochlu basar v'shine banim tikahena. Ultimately, again, so we'll say the first part of the mashal was that sometimes the children are impacted by the deeds or the misdeeds of the father. That's lesson one. Next. Aval boimi, but the mashal goes on. Aval boimi ve'ereich makom lecho v'lisba. But if the fox says to the wolf, come with me, and I'll show you a place where you could eat, you could be satiated. Balo ala be'er, va'asva samuta eats, va'acheva moshchav alav, u'bishnei rashi acheva shnei dalim kshurim. So what happens? The fox brings the wolf to a well. And there's a board across the well that's supporting a pulley system with two buckets. What happens? Nichnas ha'shol b'dliya elyon, v'hichbid v'yared l'mata, v'dalia tachton ala. Amar lo azev, lama atar nichnas l'sham? Amar lo yesh kan basar u'gvina lecha v'lisboa. So the fox goes in. Wolf cries down to the fox, why did you go into the well? To which the fox responds, there's plenty of food in here. So the wolf says, let me see. So the fox shows the wolf the reflection of the moon in the water, which looks like a wheel of cheese. So he tries to pretend that there's cheese down here in the well. So Amar lo heich, so to which the wolf says, how should I get down there? So what happens? The wolf goes in, and of course, because of the pulley system, when the wolf goes down, the fox comes up. The wolf realizes there's no food down there. How do I get back up? Obviously, again, I'm the tzaddik, you're the rasha, you're in trouble, I've been saved from the well, hatzlacha rabba. So we'll say, so these were the leftover mashalim. Rav Meir had 300 such fox mashalim. These are the three that we have. And again, we'll say, each of these mashalim in and of themselves, incredibly profound stories. Message number one, that we have to be careful with our actions, because not only do they impact us, but they impact the next generation. Message number two is, don't get fooled by the reflection of the water. Sometimes things look a certain way, but you have to be mevarer what it is you're doing in life, how you're living, the decisions you make, to make sure you're not just following some reflection of the moon and the water and thinking that it's cheese. And number three, that sometimes, ultimately, again, this part of the mashal, you know, the mashal brings down, is a bit deficient in Rashi. There must be more. But the third part of the mashal is ultimately, again, that the scales of justice are always equaled out. And at the end of the day, the Ribono Shel Olam will always right the scale between the tzaddikim and the rishon. Good. Weiter. Amrali Kofar Rabbi Gamliel. Elohechem Ganafu. So there was a particular kofar, there was a particular heretic who said to Rabbi Gamliel, your God is a thief. Tichsiv. Vayapal Hashem Elokim Tardema Al HaAdam Vayashen. So what happens? The pasuk says that the Ribono Shel Olam made Adam fall asleep, and then he took Adam's rib and he fashioned Chava. So the kofar said, your God is not a heretic. Your God is a thief. Your God is a thief. He steals ribs. He steals ribs from sleeping people. Amarle Barte. So listen to this, Shabbos say. So his daughter, this is not Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. Bepashtos, this is the daughter of the heretic. So Amarle Barte, Shafke Da'ana Mahadranale. So the daughter said, Rabbi Gamliel, I got this. Let me answer him. Amarle, Tunuli Duchas Echad. So she said to her father, can you provide me with a judge? Duchas Echad means an upright judge. Amarle Lamalech. So she said to her, why do you need a judge? So listen to this, Rabbi. She says, Listen Bo'o Alinu Halayla. Because last night the house was broken into. And what happens? The thieves came in, they stole our silver pitcher, and they left a gold one in its place. Amar Allah, to which the father responds to her, Ulevai sheyavo aleinu b'chol yom. Right? Halavai, we should have nothing, we should have break-ins like that every single night. So listen to this. Velo yafa, so to which the girl responds, Velo hafa, velo yafa hayalo la adam arishon shenatli mena tzela achos. Vinasnu lo shifcha l'shamsho. So the girl responds to her father, was it not good, ultimately again, was it not good for Adam Arishon to have a rib taken from him? The word choice over here is quite interesting. It's quite interesting. You know, but let's say you have to understand something. This is a non-Jewish girl. This is a non-Jew. I take that back. Because the Pashas Tekofer is Jewish. Let's say, again, there are different conceptions of marriage, and there are different conceptions of relationships, and there are different conceptions as to what people are supposed to get out of marriage. Who knows? It's very telling, by the way. You want to know how your children think about marriage? You want to know what your children's conception of marriage is based on? It's based on your marriage, right? So who knows what this girl saw in her home? And who knows how her father treated her mother? But obviously, the way she viewed a wife and a husband was a shivcha and the master. But whatever, we're not getting into that right now. In any event, the point that she was making to her father was what? The point that she was making was, it's true, God took a rib. God took a rib. But he gave Adam HaRishon Chava. Amar lo, hachi kamina, el lishkalei behedja. To which the father responded, the Kofar says, I know Adam got a good deal. He gave a rib, got a wife. I got it. But why did it have to be done while Adam was sleeping? What was bothering the Kofar was, why does God have to come like furtively? Why does he have to come quietly, sneakily? Why can't he just take the rib from Adam while Adam is awake? Listen to this. Amar lo, to which the girl responded, Aisuli umsa de bisra. So the girl said, can you bring me a raw slab of meat? A raw piece of meat. Aisula, they brought her the raw piece of meat. Osva tu se bakhsha. Afiksa. So the way they used to roast meat is they would put the meat, they would cover the meat with like coals and ash, and they would roast it like that. So she took the piece of meat, she roasted it, and then after it was done, Amrale, echol mehai. She gives it to her father. She says, eat here. Amrale, Amrala, mi'isuli. He said, it's disgusting, meaning I saw that meat when it was raw, and even though now that it's cooked, it's unappetizing to me. Amar lei, va'adam harishon nami, ihava shatlis bahadei, hava mi'isole. To which the girl responds, had Adam HaRishon been awake while the rib was removed and the rib was fashioned into a human being, it could be that Adam HaRishon might have been repulsed initially by his wife. In order ultimately, again, that Adam should only have feelings of attraction and feelings of connection towards his wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed this process while Adam was asleep. Incredible. Listen to this, Rabbi said. This is actually a very moving Gemara. There was a particular kofer who said to Rabbi Gamliel, I know exactly what your God is doing. The Heichon Yosef, and where exactly he is. Although they delete the Heichon Yosef. I know exactly what your God is doing and where he is. Isnagid v'isnach. Rabbi Gamliel sighed. Amrlei my hype, which the Kofar said, why are you sighing? Amrlei ben echad yeshli bekarche hayam, v'yeshli ga'aguim. Alof. Rabbi Gamliel says, I have a son who's overseas, and I have such ga'aguim, I have such a yearning to see him. I miss him. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I wish I have such a yearning to see him. Ba'ina demachvis le'nehile. Can you show me, or can you tell me where he is? Show me where, you know everything. Show me where he is. Amar, mi'adana hechanil. How should I know? The Kofar says, how should I know where your son is? Amar le di'ika ba'ara lo yadana. Di'ika b'shemayi yadas. So you're telling him you don't know where someone on this earth is, and yet you know where the Ribbono Shel Olam lives in the celestial spheres? Good. Amalei Kofar Rabbi Gamliel. Ksir was it? I was just very touched by this Gemara because this Yisod Rabbi Gamliel has a son overseas and he doesn't know where he is. Such an incredible Yisod. You know, you never know what a person has going on in life. Here Rabbi Gamliel is battling all of these Kofar, battling all of these heretics. And yet there's a piece of very personal pain that obviously is on the inside, that who even know that he had a son overseas. But yet, Mamash, like in this, obviously he was trying to disprove the Kofar, but in this incredible moment of vulnerability, he exposed, it's an incredible idea. Gemara goes right. Amalei Kofar Rabbi Gamliel. Ksiv, Mona Mispala Kochavim. Pasuk says that the Ribbono Shel Olam counts the stars. My Rabuse, so the Kofar says, what's the big deal? I could also count the stars. Right? The stars, 1, 2, 3. I mean, what's the big chap that God could count the stars? So the Gemara says, I see, so Rabbi Gamliel comes along. I see chuvshe shadinu ba'arbila. The kamahadlu. So Rabbi Gamliel filled up a basket filled with quinces, and he started shaking it around. And he said, Amalu minu. He said to the Kofar, why don't you count the quinces? Amarle ukmini. He says, if you hold the basket still, I'll be able to count them. Amarle rakia namihachi. So the Gemara, rakia namihachi adra. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel says, you know, the heavens are also constantly moving. So if you can't go ahead and count the quinces in the basket when the basket's moving, chances are you can't count the stars either. Ikeda amri hachi amarle menei li kochvi. So to which another, an alternate version is that the Kofar said to Gamliel, I could count all of the stars. So Rabbi Gamliel said to the min, tell me, to the kofar, tell me, how many teeth and how many molars do you have? Shadat yadei lepune, the kamani lehu. So the guy puts, the kofar puts his hands in his mouth and literally begins counting off his teeth. So amalei, di'ika bepumeich lo yadat, di'ika berakia yadat. You don't know how many teeth you have in your mouth, right? So you're telling me now you know how many stars there are in the heavens. I'm going to call Rabbi Gamliel. Misha bara harim lo bara ruach. So there was another kofar. Plus, say now, whether all of this is like the same nudnik, or it's multiple kofar, you know, harbe kofar miyesh ba'olam, you know, so maybe it's, I don't know if it's the same guy or multiple people. So the Gemara says, Rishabo say, by the way, you understand, like, sometimes how silly all of these, how silly all of these statements are. Which is, I will say, another incredible yisod, which I think the Musar Haska from this Gemara, is that what don't you see one time? I know that's not good English, but what don't you see one time? You never see Rabbi Gamliel losing his cool. The idea is that sometimes it happens on occasion that a person may, by chance, have to deal with difficult people. It could happen. And the most important yisod when dealing with difficult people is don't let them get under your skin. Because the moment you let the person get under your skin and the moment you react in an abrasive way, You're done. You've lost in every. The greatness of this is so stupid. This is so stupid. Rabbi Gamliel is the head of Klal Yisrael. He needs to be dealing with these nudniks. And the answer is yes. And if you notice again, his response each and every time is measured, is polite. He responds. Incredible yisod. All right. In any event, the Gemara says the following. So the Kofar says to Rabbi Gamliel, "Misha bara harim lo bara ruach. The God who created the mountains didn't create the wind. Shneamar ki neyotze harim ubore ruach. Because we'll say the pasuk uses in Amos two different lashonos. There's yotzer harim means he crafts the mountains, ubore and creates the ruach. So the Kofar was trying to say, you see from here that since it's two different words, therefore again it must be two different creators as well. Elamei ata gabe adam dechsev vayivra vayitzer hachanami misha barazel lo barazel. So maybe you're going to say by Adam Arishon also, since it says vayivra and vayitzer, so maybe again that means that two different gods created man as well. To which the Gemara says, here's the problem. Tefach al tefach yishbo ba'adam, ushnei nekavim yishbo, misha barazel lo barazel. The problem is, how would you then divide up man? You know, sometimes within man, you could have two orifices within a close proximity to each other. There's not a tefach that doesn't have something on the body. So lamaisi, you're going to say that there's one God who created this, one God who created that. Shne'emar, so the Gemara says, Shne'emar, hanota ozen alo yishma, vim yotzer ayin alo yobit, amrlein. To which the Kofar said, yes, it could be that multiple gods created man as well. Amrlei, ubishas misa, kula nispaisu. So tell me, how is it that when man dies, all the body in its entirety shuts down? Are you telling me then that all the divine partners in the creation of man all agree that man should die at the same time? To which Rabbi Gamliel, therefore Rabbi Gamliel disproves the assertion of the Kofar that man was created by different gods. Amaleyahu Amagusha, La Meimar. So there was a particular Amagusha. We'll say Amagusha is a sorcerer. A sorcerer. So what happens? He said to Amemar, Mipalgach li'iloi, duhormiz. The upper part of your body belongs to Hormiz. Hormiz, Rashi points out, was a shade. Mipalgach li'tasoi, da'ah Hormiz. The bottom part of your body, right from the middle to the bottom, is ruled by Ahormiz. Ahormiz means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this sorcerer was saying the upper part of your body is ruled by a shade, the lower part of your body is ruled by God. Amalei Imkein, Hechi Shavik Le Ahormiz, Lo Hormiz La Avure Maya Ba'are. But if that's the case, then ultimately again, how does Ahormiz, the ruler over the lower part of the body, allow Hormiz, the ruler of the upper part of the body, to go ahead and allow liquid to pass? In other words, everything that's ingested through the mouth, right, is excreted through over the lower part of the body. So why is it that the ruler of the lower part of the body would allow that which is ingested by the upper part of the body to flow through it? So the Gemara says, Amalei Kesar Bitanchum. So we'll listen to this. This is amazing. Another amazing Maisa. The Caesar said to Bitanchum, Tal ve'havi kulan la'am achad. Let's all become one nation. Let's become one united people. So what happens? Let's become one united people. Chat, so the Gemara says, L'chaye, so to which Rabbi Tanchum said, beautiful. Absolutely. They both say, it's actually a good conversation. What the Caesar was actually alluding to, according to the Marashah, was, listen, in the Messianic era, all the nations become united, so to speak. Let's become one united nation. Rabbi Tanchum says, sounds great. But here's the issue. Anin d'mahalinon lo matzinon mehavi kavasaychu. We who are circumcised cannot become like you. Asan mahalisum v'havu kavasan. You who are not circumcised, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. You who are not circumcised could become like us. Right? Rabbi Tanchum says, so listen to this. Amale, to which the Caesar responds, Meimer Shapir Kamat. You know what? You said good. You said good. However, Miu Kahahi Dezachi Lamalka Lishajue Libibar. But there's only one problem. Anyone who bests the Caesar, anyone who outsmarts the Caesar, has to be thrown into a den of lions. So Shkoyach, excellent point. Right? But now, again, anyone who, because you know, it was considered to be an affront to best the Caesar. So Rabbi Tanchum, you're right, but because you're so right, you're going to get thrown into a den of lions. So what happens? They threw him into the den of lions, but the lions did not eat him. So we'll say there was a particular heretic who was so happy to see Rabbi Tanchum thrown into the den of lions. He says, here's the problem. The reason they didn't eat him is because you probably fed the animals lately. They're not hungry. So what did they do? Shajua le lidide. They threw the heretic in there. Va'achluha. And they ate the heretic. Right? So apparently the lions were hungry. Right? But again, it's just not Rabbi Tanchum. Amar le'kofra le'begamliya. Amrisu kol be asara shchinta sharia. You Jews say that wherever there are 10 Jews assembled, the Shechina rests its presence there. Sekama shchinta ika. I don't understand. How many Shechinas are there? That the Shechina could be every single place where there are 10 Jews, it doesn't make sense. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. So Rabbi Gamliel, Kariye l'shame. So Rabbi Gamliel called over the Shemis of this particular kofar. Mocha bei ba'avtaka. He hit the Shemis in the neck. In other words, he struck him. Arulei, amai al-shim shaba beisei the kofar. Why do you allow sunlight into the home of the kofar? Arulei, shimsha. Akule alma necha. So the kofar says, what are you talking? Excuse me. The Shemis said, the Shammah said, what are you talking about? The sun shines everywhere. The sun shines everywhere. I can't prevent all of the rays of the sun from entering into the home. Tuchel Galil says, exactly. Umashimsha, the chad min elef alfi rivo, shamshi the kami kutshabrichu, the sun, which is just one of the many thousands of creations and servants before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Necha L'Kulei Alma, yet shines upon the entire world, Shechinta D'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alachas Kama V'Kama. Or the most so, the Shechina itself is able to shine, and in this case, be present all over the world as well. Amalei Hahu Mina L'Rebbe Avo. So there was a particular, in a particular heretic, who said, Rebbe Avo, Elokeichem Gachkon. Your God is like a badchan, like a gachkon. Your God is a jester. He makes fun of people. He makes fun of people. How so? So the Gemara says, "Dekamali liyecheskel shchav al tzidcha smali." Because first he says to the Navi Yecheskel, "Sleep on your left side." Uksiv vishachafta al tzidcha yimani. Then he says to Yecheskel, "Sleep on your right side." So we'll say so. Meaning he's saying your God makes fun of you. Why is he doing that to Yecheskel? As this exchange was occurring, Asahu Tamida, Amrale, my timer the Shviyasa. So we'll say, as this Min is having this conversation with Rabbi Avo, one of the Tamidim of Rabbi Avo comes along and says, Rabbi, why is it that we have Shemitah? Why do we have Shemitah? Amrale, Hashta Amino Lechumilsa the Shabbat Tavasra. So which Rabbi Avo responds, this is amazing. I'm going to give you one answer that answers both of the questions. The Min's question as to why God is telling first Yecheskel, sleep on this side, sleep on that side, as well as the answer as to what the deeper meaning of Shemitah is. So listen to this. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Zaru Sheish, I want you to work the land for 6 years. V'yashmitu Sheva, and I want you to observe a sabbatical year on the seventh. Kedei Shetedu Sha'aretz Shelihi, in order that you should know that the land ultimately belongs to me. Okay, the Hein Lo Asukim. We're both say one of the reasons for Galus was because we did not properly observe Shemitah. Instead, we sinned, we didn't observe Shemitah, and therefore we were exiled. So the minhag olam is when it comes to an earthly king. If the kingdom rebelled against him, if the king is cruel, he'll wipe out the entire kingdom. If he's compassionate, he'll kill half of the kingdom. If he's truly compassionate, then miyasir hagidolim shem biyisurin. Then what will he do? He'll afflict the great ones. He'll afflict, meaning he'll give afflictions to the leaders, representing that by punishing the leaders, that will atone ultimately again for the rest of the populace. Af kacha kodesh baruch hu. The Bible says, so is the same with the Ribbono Shalom. Miyasir asicheskel kedei lamarek avonoseim shel Yisrael. Ultimately, again, the Ribbono Shalom was afflicting Yechezkel. This idea of sleep on the right, sleep on the left, making Yechezkel twist and turn, was Yisurim, was suffering for Yechezkel. For what purpose? Ultimately, to atone for Klal Yisrael, for the fact that they did not observe the Shemitos. Amar Eliyahu min l'Rabbi Yavo, Elokeichem Kohenu. So there was a particular min that said to Rabbi Yavo, your God is a Kohen. I know your God is a Kohen. D'chsiv, v'yikhu li truma. Because the pasuk says, "V'yichuli truma, you should take from me truma." So you see, the God is a kohen. Kikabri l'Moshe b'may tovel. So if that's the case, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was a kohen, the Ribbono Shel Olam buried Moshe Rabbeinu himself. If Kadosh Baruch Hu was a kohen, then that means he was tamei tumas meis. What mikvah did he use? Right? How did he purify himself? V'chitema b'maya. Maybe you'll say he immersed himself in water. V'haksiv mi madad b'sha'alom mayim. Could all the waters of the world be measured with the fist of God? In other words, there are no waters that could contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sadr Ribbono Shel Olam immersed himself. Let's listen to this. Amar Lei Benura. Says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu immersed himself in fire. Benura Tavel. He immersed in fire. Dechziv. Ki Nei Hashem Ba'esh Yavo. Ribbono Shel Olam comes in fire. Misalka Tevilusa Benura. Can you have Tevila in fire? Amar Lei Adraba. To which Rabbi Yavo responded, yes, of course. Adraba, ikr tefilusa benura. The actually primary immersion is in fire. Dichsev v'chol asher lo yavo ba'ish ta'aviru b'mayim. It's only things ultimately again that cannot be purified in fire that ultimately are purified in water. Now listen, obviously, Abba was just responding to the min ultimately just to shut down his argument. But Rabbi Yavo is not lending credence because obviously that's not what the pasuk means. V'yichu li truma is not talking about, it's from Parshas Truma. It's not talking about the truma that is a matnas kuna. That's talking about the Trumos HaMishkan. That's talking about the build of the Mishkan. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yavo, Trumos says another incredible yisod, which is even sometimes if a person is saying something nonsensical, sometimes Kavod HaBrios demands that you respond to the person, that you just give them an answer, that you give them the proper interpersonal derech eretz to at least close out the conversation. Incredible, incredible. Lessons in Midos. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Lehu Minu Rabbi Avina. Ksiv Mikayim Chol Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Pasuk says, who is like Klal Yisrael, the singular nation of the world? My Rabbi Sayu Asa Namin Arvi Subahadon. Why is Klal Yisrael better than anyone else? You're a nation like every other nation. The Ksiv Kol Agoyim Ke'en Negdo. All of the nations are like nothing against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ultimately, again, you see Klal Yisrael is reckoned like everyone else. Amar Lehi, to which Rabbi Avina responded, Medidacho Ashida Alon, even your own prophets testified that we are unique. A reference to Bilam, Dichsiv Amud Beis, Dichsiv Ubagoyim Lo Yishasha. Because it also the Pasuk ultimately says by Bilam, that Klal Yisrael Bagoyim, they will not be reckoned amongst the nations. Rabbi Elazar Amiksiv, Rabbi Elazar contrasts Psukim. Says on one hand, Tov Hashem Lekol, God is good to everyone who Ksiv Tov Hashem Lekovav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good for those, the Kovav Rabbi Osei means for those who wait for him or for those who pine for him. So which one is it? Is God good to everyone or is God just good to those who wait for him or pine for him? Mashallah, Adam Sheish Lo Pardes. This can be compared to a person who has an orchard. Kishu Mashke, Mashke Eskulo. When he waters the orchard, he waters the whole thing. Ukishu Oder, Eino Oder Ela Tovim Shevim. Rabbi Osei, when he, literally, Oder means to hoe. When he does extra yard work, extra work in the Pardes, he only does the extra work for the trees or for the plants that are ultimately going to go ahead and really provide real fruit. So too, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. In other words, therefore, he'll water the entire orchard. But the extra attention that he gives are only for those trees that truly yield fruit, which are those trees who yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'fichach, kol echot. So, vayava harinam machna. So we'll say, we're transitioning now a little bit to the interesting story about the death of Achav. Remember again, Achav was in the after the death of Shlomo HaMelech, his son Rechavam becomes king. Rechavam follows the advice of his young, inexperienced advisors, and ultimately leads to a split in Malchus Yisrael, becoming two kingdoms: Malchus Yisrael, Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yehuda is still governed by Davidic kings. Malchus Yisrael originally was governed by a man by the name of Yeravam ben Nevat, who goes off the started off as a tzaddik, but goes off the derech in a dramatically terrible way, and then is governed by a series of evil kings. One of them, one of the worst of them, being Achav. So the pasuk over here says, "Vayav harina b'machaneh." This is after the death of Achav. After the death of Achav, there was rina. There was rejoicing in the camp. Because when the wicked are killed, when the wicked are lost, then ultimately again there is singing and jubilation. When Achav ben Amri was killed, there was rejoicing. But does God rejoice over the downfall of the wicked? After all, Haksiv b'tzeis lifnei achavos v'omrim hodu la'Hashem ki li olam chasdo v'omer b'yonasan mipnei malo ne'emar b'hoda azu ki tov. So we'll say ultimately again in the passage that discusses the downfall of the wicked, it says Hodu La Hashem Kili Olam Chazdo, but it doesn't say Kitov. It doesn't say it's good. Why? Because God does not rejoice on the downfall of the wicked. Remember, we'll say this is something that Hashem Baruch Hu prefers much more to the downfall of the wicked, and that is that they do tshuva. Right? That people change, that people reform themselves, that people turn themselves back. God doesn't want anyone to fail. God doesn't want anyone to fall. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does address, the Gemara says, Rosh says, this beautiful Gemara, Dom Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Am Rabbi Yonasan, Mai Dichsiv, Velo Karav Zeh Al Zeh Kol HaLayla. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, they did not approach each other the entire night? It was said, this is talking about when Klal Yisrael left Egypt. And remember again, this is right by Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael is getting to Yamsuf. They're right at the banks of the sea. They cannot proceed any farther. And what happens? There's the ash, there's the fire between them and Mitzrayim. So they don't come close to each other the entire night. But also Shad, they're about to say, what happens? We know the rest of the story. Kadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea. Klal Yisrael goes through. Waters come down on Mitzrayim. But also Shad, when the Mitzrayim are drowning in the sea, Bikshu Malachi Hashares Lomar Shira. Ultimately, the Malachi Hashares wanted to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the death of the Mitzrayim. So Amar Lohan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ase Yodai Tovim Bayam, Va'atim Omrim Shira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my creations are drowning in the sea, and you want to sing Shira. It's not upon Razul said, it's an incredible Yisod. We haven't cornered the market on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam is the God of all humanity and loves all humanity. Does he have a unique relationship with us, with Klal Yisrael? Absolutely. But that unique relationship does not come at the expense of love for all of his creations. It's a very important Yisod. And therefore, we might rejoice over the downfall of Rishayim, but the Ribono Shel Olam has an incredible and profound sense of pain. Because when those Rishayim are killed, those Rishayim disappear or obliterated, those are his children. Those are Shira. So the Malachim want to sing Shira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Hu Eino Sas. It's true. God doesn't rejoice when the wicked perish. Aval Achirim Masis. But others do rejoice. Others do rejoice. Man does. Man who is oppressed does rejoice when his enemy is vanquished. Dekanami Dechsev Yossis. So Rav Osei, you can even be medayik this in the pasuk. The Gemara says that it says Yosis. Yosis is a reference ultimately again to others will rejoice, but it doesn't say Yosus, which means the Kadosh Baruch Hu rejoices. Good. Vazon osrachzu. So Rav Osei, so the pasuk over here, this is by the death of Achav. So the pasuk says Vayishtov as arechav al brecha shomron Vayaloku aklovim as demo. So as we'll see in just a moment, Achav was killed in battle. He was killed by, actually, interestingly enough, a quote-unquote stray arrow. Obviously, there's no such thing as a stray arrow, but he was killed by a stray arrow. So the pasuk here discusses that his chariot was drenched in blood. His chariot was drenched in blood, and ultimately again, and ultimately they bring his chariot to wash it off by the fountain, and the dogs were lapping up his blood. So the lashon that the pasuk uses is vazonos rachtsu. They went ahead and literally zonos are harlots, bathed or washed. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Elazar, lemarik shtei chazyonos. So zonos of Yerabosai is a shortened form of chazyonos for visions. That in the death of Achav, two visions came together. Achas shal Michayo, va'achas shal Elio. One is the vision of Michayo, one is the vision of Elio. Michayo ksiv, imshov tashov b'shalom, lo diber Hashem. So the Navi Michayo says to Achav, if you come back from this battle, then right in peace, in other words, if you don't die in this battle, then God doesn't speak through me. And Elio prophesizes and he says, the same place where the dogs licked up the blood of Navos. Remember again, we know the story of Navos. Achav wanted Navos' property. He has Navos, actually. Zevel has Navos brought up on false charges. Navos is executed. Achav takes his property. The Navi prophesizes, in the same place where the dogs licked the blood of Navos, they'll lick your blood as well. Rava Amar, V'ish Mashach B'keshas L'tumo. Nabosai, the Navi discusses, how is Achav killed? There was just an archer, one of the enemy archers, just indiscriminately pulled back his bow. Vayake, and his arrow ended up hitting Achav. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Lefitu. Oh, thank you. Rava Amar. No one ever misses a Zonos Mamish. Good. Sorry. Shuf Mamish. I can skip a whole chapter. Good. So it says the Gemara. So Rava says Zonos Mamish. Rava says, no. The Zonos of Yerabosai is not Chazionos, but rather it literally means Zonos Mamish. What does this mean? This is actually amazing. Achav ish mitzonan haya. So this is an interesting lashon. Achav was very cool. I will say that's not meant as a compliment. Rashi says mitzonan haya lo haya ohev tashmish. Apparently, he had like low testosterone or something. Meaning he didn't really have a drive for intimacy. So what happened? This bothered his wife. Va'asa salo izevel shtei tsure zonos b'merkafto. So his wife had painted on his chariot two, I guess, lustful images of harlots. In order ultimately that he should look at them and become aroused. And therefore, again, the pasuk says that we should also say, if you think about it, again, just the depravity of people to kind of publicize these type of things. So Achav's blood, when he was killed, covered these images of the Zonos. So again, it's referring to the enemy archer, pulled back his bow. Now, what does litumo mean? Vayakin, he killed Achav. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lefitumo. Lefitumo means, literally, means, says, like, innocently. What does that mean, innocently? What it means is, he wasn't aiming for Achav. You know, sometimes the archers, they would pull and they would just fire. They fire together. They're not aiming at someone specific. So this archer just released his arrow, lefitumo. He wasn't aiming for the king. He wasn't aiming for anyone. So he was just shooting arrows at the opposing army. And they ended up killing Achav. Rava Amar, Litameim shtei chazyonos, achas shel Michayo v'achas shel Elio. So Yerabos Rava says that lefitumo means to go ahead and fulfill the two prophecies of Michayo and Elio. Good. Ksiv vayikra Achav el Avadyo. So Yerabos says now that we started talking about Achav, the Gemara goes through a little bit more. Achav called Ovadyo. Now we'll say Achav. We don't have time to get into it now, but Achav is a fascinating figure because you see many times throughout Achav's story a flicker of holiness. Achav has an incredible desire, you see, at times to want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the interesting things that happened is he had a very righteous servant who he maintained in his house, a man by the name of Ovadyo. Ovadyo. So listen to this exchange, is amazing. Vayikra Achav el Ovadyo asher al habayis. So Achav called Ovadyo, and Ovadyo was in charge of the household of Achav. Va'ovadyo haya yore Hashem me'od. Ovadyo feared God exceedingly. So the Gemara says, my kamakra, why does the pasuk have to say that Ovadyo was exceedingly fearful of God? Amar, we're supposed to listen to this. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Amar Le, Achav said to Ovadyo, B'Yakov ksiv nichashti varvechini Hashem biglalecha. So remember again, by Yaakov, you know, when Yaakov is by Lavan, so Lavan says, Yaakov, because you're righteous and you're in my house, I'll bless you. Therefore, God has blessed me. B'Yosef ksiv, Yosef. So again, when Yosef was in the house of Potiphar, the house of Potiphar was blessed because Yosef, what do you see? You see that even evil people, when they have righteous people in their house, the house gets blessed. So Achav comes with a taina against Avadya. Beisa dehu gavro lo hava mivrich. Achav says, listen, we've got big tzaras in the house. We're not experiencing bracha. Shema lo yirei Elokim ata. Do you understand what just happened over here? Right? Achav says, you know, God is not showering bracha on our house. Avadya, tell me, are you having kavana when you're davening? Right? Tell me, the problem is obviously you, right? Because you are the token righteous guy, right? And God blesses evil people and they have the token righteous guy. So obviously you are not, you know, get it together. You're not pulling your weight around here. Why are we getting bracha? Yasas abaskal va'amra va'ovad yaha yireas Hashem ma'od. Achav, Baskal comes out and says, Ovadya is just fine. The problem is not with your house, tzaddik. The problem ultimately, again, is with your house. Which Rabosai, this Gemara is such a profound yesod. Because so many times in life, we have certain things that are in a state of disrepair. And the first place we look for the problems is elsewhere. Who's not doing their job? Who's not pulling their weight? Who's not doing what they're supposed to do? Instead of realizing, if there's a state of disrepair in my home, chances are it's not my wife and it's not my kids and it's not the this and it's not this. It's me. It's me. That's Chesh Baruch. You're blaming, you have the chesed to blame on Avadya? That Avadya is not righteous enough? Achav, what about you? Incredible. Am Rabbi Abba, Gadol Shenemar Ba'Avadya, Yosef Mimash Shenemar Ba'Avram. There's greater praise given to Avadya than by Avram Avinu. The Ilu Ba'Avram looks Siv Ma'od. Ba'Avram Avinu doesn't say Ma'od. Right, it just says Yireh Elokim Ata, that you fear God, but it doesn't say Ma'od. Ubavajo Ksiv Ma'od, but yet Avadya says that he's Yireh Hashem Ma'od. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, if Nei Mazach Avadya LeNevius. We'll say, why did Avadya merit to get prophecy? What did he do? Meaning, so you have to merit. What did he do to merit to get prophecy? Listen to this. So Mipnei Shehechbi Meya Nevi Mamar. We'll say, I understand. Under Achav and Izebel, Achav has. If Achav is bad, his wife was 10 times worse. Izebel made it her business to go ahead and kill out every single Navi Hashem. She killed out all the Navim. Avadya hid 100 prophets. He hid 100 Navim in a cave. Shenemar, Vahi Bahachris Izebel as Navi Hashem, Vayikach Avadya Mea Navim, Vayach Be'im Chamishim Ish B'Ma'ara. So what happens? He goes ahead and Avadya takes 100 prophets and hides them 50 in two, right, 50 per cave. Why did he hide them 50 per cave? So we'll say, why doesn't he hide all 100 in one cave? Why does he hide 50 in two caves? Or, you know, 50 per cave in two caves? So in some words, he learned from Yaakov Avinu. We'll say, Yaakov Avinu teaches us that sometimes in dire circumstances, you have to plan for some loss. You have to plan for some loss. So you have to make a contingency plan that if there is going to be a loss, how does the family live on? Rabbi Avoa, Rabbi Avoa gives a much more pashut answer. He says, "Lefi shein ma'ara machzekes yosem mechamishim." It's not really because he couldn't find a cave that held more than 50. He happened to find two caves that held 50 each. Chazon avajo, klamar Hashem alokim la'edom. So we'll say. So remember, then the Navi says that the Navi over here, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk. From the Navi Avadya, that Chazon Avadya, that Avadya has a nevuah, has a vision. Ko Amar Hashem Li Edom. So Avadya, the Jewish prophet, becomes the mouthpiece of God to the nation of Edom, telling Edom what's going to happen to them. So the Gemara says, Maishna Avadya La Edom. Why is Avadya the messenger to Edom? Why is he the messenger? So Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Avadyo Hadar Bein Shnei HaRishoyim V'lo Lama Mima Aseyem. So we'll say, so what happens? Avadya, who was a righteous man, who lived between two evil people. Who are the two evil people? Achav and Izebel. He lives between two evil people, and yet he never learned from their deeds. V'yinove Al Esav HaRasha. And let him deliver prophecy about the nation of Esav. Shedar ben shnei tzadikim v'lo ma'amad nimaaseihem. Esav lived amongst two righteous people. Who are the two righteous people? His parents, Yitzchak and Rivka. And yet, unfortunately, he never learned from their ways. Omer Ephraim Mikshah, Talmidei Shavim Meir, Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Avadya ger Edomi haya. In fact, Avadya was a convert from the nation of Edom. Now we understand why he was chosen, ultimately again to give prophecy about Edom. Nezal be'narga, that it is from the very forest that comes the handle for the axe. That's the expression. From the very forest itself comes the handle from the axe. So from the very nation of Edom comes the prophet, ultimately, again, who prophesies about their demise. Vayach es Moav, vayimdodeim bechebel, hashkev osam arza. So we'll say the pasuk over here, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, by David HaMelech. Right? David HaMelech goes ahead and wipes out the nation, or I should say, delivers a crushing blow to the nation of Moab. So why was it David HaMelech who was chosen to go ahead and wipe out the nation of Moab? This is what people say. We'll say Abba in this case means a forest. It is from the very forest itself. Lazel be'narga comes the handle for the axe to go ahead and cut down the forest. So we'll say ultimately again, Sardini gives a different interpretation. He says that when you have like a piece of meat, literally means the thigh of meat, when it rots from the middle. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mitocha masrechas, migufa, u mitoch uvya maschil harsirchon. Then we'll say what this ultimately means is this yisod, that sometimes destruction comes from within. So the Navi who prophesizes about the downfall of Edom ultimately, again, is a convert from Edom. David HaMelech, who destroys the nation of Moab, himself is a descendant of Moab. Fine. So we'll say the Gemara goes right there and ends off with an interesting story. Vayikach esbeno habachar shenimloch tachtov, vayalehu ola alachoma. So we'll say, so the Navi over here tells a very disturbing story, again, in Melachim Beis, about Mesha, the king of Moab. Mesha, the king of Moab, took his firstborn son, and he offered him up as a burnt offering on the wall of the city. He sacrificed his firstborn son. I will say, child sacrifice, unfortunately, was very common. But the king of Moab essentially took his firstborn, which represented what? Which represented his heir to the throne, and he offered him up as a korban. So the Gemara says, what happens? Ravu Shmuel. So there's a machlokes as to what Mesha's intentions were. Chad amar l'shem shamayim, v'chad amar l'shem avodah zarah. One says that Mesha's intentions were l'shem shamayim, was even l'shem shamayim. We'll say, obviously, what he did was wrong. But the shaila is, was the motivation ultimately because he was trying to do something that he thought was pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or was he doing something for Avodah Zarah? Says Machlokes. One says what he did, he actually did as a sign of homage to God. Flawed, highly flawed, but nevertheless as a sign of homage to God. One says, no, it was for Avodah Zarah. Bishon Lamam Domer L'Shem Shamayim. So according to the opinion, it says it was L'Shem Shamayim. Hainu D'Chsev V'Yiketzav Godol Al Yisrael. So we'll say, according to the opinion, it says that Mesha's intention was L'Shem Shamayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam gets very upset at Klal Yisrael. Why? Because he sees the dedication of Mesha, and that same level of dedication doesn't exist by Klal Yisrael. Now again, to be clear, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want the sacrifice, but he sees an incredible hislav, an incredible passion from Mesha that he doesn't see by Klal Yisrael. And therefore, again, what the dedication of the Moabite king ultimately sparks God's fury against Klal Yisrael. But according to the one who says that Mesha did this for idolatry, then why does this act spark the fury of God against Klal Yisrael? Because Rabbi Shimon Levi contrasted two psukim. But what does it say? On one hand, it says, and in the ways of the nations who surround you, you have not conducted yourself. But yet it says, in accordance with the ways of the nations who surround you, you have conducted yourselves. So we'll say, which one is it? Have we conducted ourselves like the nations around us or not? To which Rabbi Shimon Levi responds, Kimitukonim shebahem lo asisem. Kimitukonim shebahem asisem. You only emulate the ways of the goyim when they are corrupt. You do not emulate the ways of the goyim when they are doing that which is correct. Look at Rashi. Kimiko kolam shebahem kigon meish shemelach moav shikrev binolav odozara kach hayu yisrael osim Uba'osa shaniska lahem osa abon shahayu regilim gam heim bo. Shabbos said, apparently, according to this opinion, Klal Yisrael was also engaging in child sacrifice. And therefore, again, there is what to be learned from the umo sa'olam in a positive way, yet you fail to learn those lessons, the Navi tells us. All you seem to take from the nations of the world is the morally bankrupt negative behavior that you emulate from them. Vayisu me'ala vayishuvu la'aretz. So we'll say ultimately again, Vayis, little bless you. Vayisu, right, so this is the same pasuk. After Baisha goes in and kills his son, Vayisu me'alav, they literally ascended from above. They left. Vayashuvah, they returned to the land. Am Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Ba'osa Shah, Yardu Rishen Shah Yisrael, Lemadrega Tachtona. At this point, the Navi is telling us that Klal Yisrael ascended to such a low point of negative spiritual activity. Fine, so we'll say the parak ends off, interestingly enough, in a totally unrelated way. V'hana'ara yifa'ad ma'od. And this is talking about over here, Avishag Hashunamis. Remember again at the end, this is at the end of Malachim Aleph, David HaMelech is old. So the kingdom hires a nurse for him, a young woman, a beautiful woman by the name of Avishag Hashnavis. We spoke about her before, Bosse. If you remember again, we spoke on her early in the Masechta. This is the episode we saw where she wanted to marry David HaMelech. David HaMelech did not want to marry her. So Avishag Hashunamis, so the Gemara says, Vahanara Yifa'ad Ma'od. And the Pasuk says that she was exceedingly beautiful. Let's listen to how this ends. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Adayin Lo'egia Lechatzi Yofi Shal Sara. As beautiful as she was, she did not measure up to even half of the beauty of Sara Imenu. How do we know that? Dechsiv Ad Ma'od. V'lo ma'od bichlal. So we'll say, so beautifully, it says that she was yafa ad ma'od. So I'll say, the way you're normally dashing is, ad ma'od means exceedingly beautiful. The Gemara's dashing it is, she was beautiful, ad ma'od. But up until, and ad, upright, we have ad v'lo ad bichlal, up until, but not including exceedingly beautiful. Because ultimately, again, who does that exceedingly beauty? Who does that beauty belong to? Ultimately, again, that was the beauty of Sari Menu, the Sara, this is the beauty of the Imos, the beauty of our matriarchs. Let's say Hadrin Aloch Echad Dine Mominus. Shkoyach Mazel Tov Emirat Hashem. Tomorrow B'Shatov Metzachas. We begin the new parak. Yes, Shkoyach.